the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So we are celebrating St. Michael and All Angels today, as you already know. And what a wonderful and wonder-filled topic it is, in every sense of that word, wonder. And of course, we have here, as I said before, the beautiful St. Michael and All Angels named chapel that so many love to sit in or have weddings or funerals in. Angels, what do you think of them? Every time we meet for worship, we are actually dipping into and joining with an ongoing worship by all the company of heaven, including all the angels and archangels. Of course, we say in the great Thanksgiving prayer of the Eucharist, we say together with angels and archangels, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Hosanna in the highest." So we are joining our voices with the angels. What else do we know about them? Well, we know that the Greek word angelos, from which comes our word angel, means messenger, one who is an ambassador, speaking and acting on behalf of God. Saint Augustine said, "With their whole being, they are servants and messengers of God." So they represent the heavenly world, and they move in what we might call, what the Celtics call, that thin space between heavenly and earthly reality. As the Old Testament character Job says, angels witness the creation of the world, but they themselves are created beings and not without fault. They can also be mediators of revelation. Zechariah, the Old Testament prophet, talks about the angel who talked with me, who interprets visions to Zechariah in comforting and reassuring words of the Lord. In the New Testament, angels are mentioned 175 times. And what do we see them doing there? Well, they rescue apostles, they're mediators of God's judgment, and we're also told that there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents. They carry souls to paradise, they surround God's throne, and they fill the heavenly world with songs of praise. So angels are very busy creatures indeed. There are three particular senior angels or archangels we celebrate today: Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. And we probably shouldn't forget Uriel either, who isn't mentioned all that much, but he's part of that team, really. Well, people speak a lot about Michael. Quite a bit about Gabriel, particularly around the birth of Jesus, but not so much about Raphael. Why might this be? Well, Michael is a very dramatic figure. The other two we see in more quiet, intimate scenarios. So they don't stand out as much as Michael. So let's have a closer look at each of them, and then I'll focus more on Raphael. Michael means "who is like God." He is said to be angel of fire, love's fierce radiance. He leads the heavenly armies against all supernatural forces of evil. And we see in the Daniel and Revelation readings today where Michael is the vanquisher of the primordial dragon, who is Satan, and Satan has been bound by the strength of heaven. Wonderful dramatic and visionary music has been inspired by the word pictures of the angelic host and the war in heaven. St. Gabriel, his name means strength of God. And of course we read in Luke that he was sent to Zechariah. We read those stories leading up to Christmas and at Christmas time, don't we? So Zechariah, Gabriel came to announce the coming birth of his and Elizabeth's son, John the Baptist. And then we read in Luke how Gabriel, in a very personal approach, comes from the presence of God to Mary to announce the coming of Jesus and to bring reassurance to Mary about her standing in God's sight. And then, thirdly, Saint Raphael. Raphael means medicine of God. And Raphael is the archangel of healing. In the book of Tobit, in the Apocrypha, this angel, as a healer and fellow traveller, takes care of Tobias on his journey. Tradition also holds that Raphael is the angel that stirred the waters at the healing pool in Bethesda. That's the pool we hear about in John's Gospel, where Jesus healed the paralyzed man on the Sabbath. There is a beautifully written, gentle little book called Miss Garnett's Angel by Sally Vickers. Some of you may have read it. It is set in Venice and tells the story of a retired school teacher, Viola Garnett, a somewhat reserved atheist who visits Venice and also the church of the angel Raphael. And we read how through her mystical experiences with Saint Raphael and her encounters with a range of people, that she comes to experience life in a totally new and reviving way. The story, with its themes of good and evil, sexuality, religion, and belief, has strong parallels with the book of Tobit. And indeed, the author of the book intersperses the story of Tobit with Miss Garnett's adventures. Well, it is a wonderful and wonder-filled read if you haven't read it yet. What happens with Angel Raphael in the delightful short story of Tobit, that book we have in the Old Testament, in the Apocrypha part of the Old Testament? As often happens with angels, Raphael appears here as a human, so not recognized as an angel to begin with. And he is employed by a pious, blind Jew, Tobit, and his son, Tobias, to be a companion for Tobias as he sets out on his father's behalf to retrieve their money from people in the region of Medea. Well, after many adventures on the way, and Tobias's rather interesting marriage with a disturbed woman, Sarah, whom Raphael actually heals, both of them return back home to Tobit. Tobit is then healed of his recent blindness by the angel Raphael. And it is just at the conclusion of the story, you know, you get to the story and there's a big reveal. Well, Raphael reveals his true angelic identity to Tobit and Tobias and says, "When I was with you, I was not acting on my own will, but on the will of God." He says God had sent him to heal. And as he does so, he exhorts them to bless God, because that is actually what's important to angels, that we bless God. So indeed, after their initial fear and shock, Tobit and Tobias kept blessing God and singing his praises, acknowledging God for these marvellous deeds of his, when an angel of God had appeared to them. As we mature in our faith, we, like Jesus promises to Nathanael in the Gospel of John reading today, we'll find the divine depth in our ordinary, everyday lives. Sometimes hard to see or to experience, but it's there. The two threads of the marvellous and the ordinary are woven together in our lives, and the invisible is all around us. The eternal is here among us, and we are reminded of that more strongly when we come to worship, to the Eucharist, aren't we? And the eternal is not a strange land. It can be seen, touched, and known. Francis Thompson, the Catholic mystical poet, spoke of this divine presence behind the ordinary and the familiar in his hometown of London. Well, and really Charing Cross he was speaking about particularly. And he spoke of this in the poem titled In No Strange Land. I quote, "O world invisible, we view thee. O world intangible, we touch thee. O world unknowable, we know thee. Inapprehensible, we clutch thee." But that's not all. As Jesus says to Nathanael, the heavens will open and you will see the angels ascending and descending on me, Jesus says. It is Jesus the angels point to as they go up and down Jacob's ladder. In the humanity of Jesus, the eternal and heavenly has come among us. Because God is present in Jesus, his way is accompanied by angels. And at his coming again, they will be at his side. So for everyone who shares in a journey of faith, barriers between heaven and earth fall away and heaven remains open in the person of Christ. And we're to stay open to that, to the amazing mystery of God's love, and finding every opportunity we can to bless God for that. And then just to paraphrase Francis Thompson in his poem, finally, we shall see the traffic of Jacob's ladder pitched between heaven and Clendon Road. Amen.